Our first lesson comes from 2 Samuel, chapter 12. The Lord sent Nathan to David, and when he arrived, Nathan said, "There are two men in the city. One was rich, the other was poor. Now the rich man had sheep and cattle, and the poor man had nothing, except for one ewe lamb that he had bought. It lived in his house with his children, and he would feed it off of his table and let it drink from his cup. At night, it would sleep in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. A visitor came to the rich man, and not wanting to take from his own flocks and herds, the rich man took the ewe lamb and had it prepared and served to his guest. Now when David heard this, he was angry. And he said to Nathan, "Surely as the Lord God lives, what this man has done is demonic. He must restore the ewe lamb four times over for what he has done, and because he had no compassion." Nathan said to David, "You are that man." And the Lord God says, "I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from Saul. I gave your master's house to you. I gave his wives to your embrace. I gave you Judah and Israel. And if that had not been enough, surely I would have given you more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord your God and done evil in my sight? You struck down Uriah the Hittite by the sword and took his wife as your own. You used the Ammonites to strike him down by the sword. Because you have done this, because you have taken Uriah the Hittite's wife as your own, the sword will never leave your family. The Lord God says, I am stirring up trouble from within your own house. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and I will give them to your friend, and he will lay with them in broad daylight. You did what you did in secret. I am doing what I am doing before all of Israel in broad daylight." "I've sinned before God," said David. Our second reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4. Listen to these words. "Therefore, after you've gotten rid of lying, each of you must tell the truth to your neighbor, because we are parts of each other in the same body. Be angry without sinning. Don't let the sun set on your anger. Don't provide an opportunity for the devil. Thieves should no longer steal. Instead, they should go to work, using their hands to do good, so that they will have something to share with whoever is in need. Don't let any foul words come out of your mouth. Only say what is helpful when it is needed for building up the community, so that it benefits those who hear what you say. Don't make the Holy Spirit of God unhappy. You were sealed by Him for the day of redemption. Put aside all bitterness, losing your temper, anger, shouting, and slander, along with every other evil. Be kind, compassionate, and forgiving to each other in the same way God forgave you in Christ. Therefore, imitate God like dearly loved children. Live your life with love, following the example of Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. He was a sacrificial offering that smelled sweet to God. This is the word of the Lord. I really, really, really want to have a Nathan moment. This is one of those great points. Don't you guys just want to be able to have one of those where you just get to confront somebody in the midst of their sin and say, "It was you!" Like the end of like a murder mystery or something. Oh, I want that so bad. As a preacher, I just feel like that might be one of the best things to finally have someone to tell a sermon or a story that just hits someone so hard in the gut and then be like, "Ha ha ha, I knew." Which probably says way more about me than it does about Nathan. But we love catching people in the midst of their sin, don't we? And we had a whole industry built around it with tabloids and everything else. That little piece of juicy gossip, oh, some celebrity was caught seen leaving somebody else's house or visiting someone's trailer on the scene of their new movie, or some politician got caught in some seedy revelation, and we just feel good. Even better when we can rip them down off of the pedestal they've been on. It just feels nice. And so I imagine, at least in my head, Nathan was probably ready to go and poke at God's golden boy a little bit. But I think I'm reading a little bit too much of myself into the prophet. But we do. We like that stuff. We like it. It makes us feel a little more superior, or at least makes us think, "Ha, you're just like me anyway." And that's probably not for the best. Because let's face it, most of the time we are like David. We're the ones who have gotten so caught up in our own sin that we don't realize the story is about us. I mean, how did David not realize the story from Nathan was a story? I mean, it starts off, there were two guys in the city. That's either a story or a joke. And that's the way that goes. But David is just like, "Oh yeah, okay. I'm going to get him." I can almost see David just thinking, and I think I could see Nathan just being there as he tells this and watching David and being like, "You just don't get it, do you? You're the man in the story. We're the people in the story. We're the sinners." We get so caught up in it, though, we forget about it. And then when we hear that story, we're like, "Oh yeah, they better get that guy. Oh, I want that guy gone. Ooh, yeah." And then we realize, "Oh, it's about me. Well, let's be lenient." It's interesting. It's interesting that we are those people, we who should be the most aware of our own sinfulness and the sinfulness of others. We should all be aware of the fact that we're all caught up in that story, that we all do evil in the Lord God's sight. And we should take no glee when somebody else gets caught in the act, because they're but for the grace of God. Go the rest of us. It's interesting what Paul says in Ephesians. Once you've gotten rid of lying, gossip. Man, that's a really hard place to start. I have caught my boys in the midst of things red-handed. Did you bite your brother as the teeth are still on his arm? No. Lying seems ingrained in us. But Paul says, once you get rid of that, okay, fine, set the bar kind of high, then live in the truth. And it almost sounds like he's telling the community at Ephesus to sort of wash their hands and we'll just forget about all the stuff that came before. Because he does say, you know, thieves, if you've stolen, stop that and do good stuff now. But he doesn't say, all right, now make sure the thief is punished first. He's telling them to go ahead right now and live into this new kingdom thing. Stop taking the glee of catching everyone in the act. Stop the gossip and the lies about one another. Stop doing that. That's going to poison the well of your community. And remember that you're all forgiven. That like David, you've all been caught red-handed. God knows what's going on. But you've been forgiven. Now, we all have forgiven somebody. At least I hope so. We've all forgiven somebody sometime in our life. But man, I still like sharing the stories about how those people I've forgiven wronged me to begin with. You all do. We all do. Oh, did you hear about what that guy did to me? When somebody is doing something, just start that sentence again. When you hear that one of your friends is going to meet with somebody who did something bad to you, and you say, oh wait, let me tell you something about that person. Make sure you know his character before you get involved with him. Now, sometimes that's just friendly advice. But I would say, at least when I do it, 95% of the time, it's just because I want to tell the story and be a little gossipy. But Paul is saying, stop that. Stop it. Live into truth now. Live into forgiveness now. Live into doing good now, not later. Don't put it off. Stop slandering one another now. That's a message we need to hear. Because right now it seems like in society we are looking for the slightest flaw in everybody to just rip them down and prove why they are an idiot and we're not. Think of why I don't have to listen to this person and I can see them as the other so I can feel better about myself. We want to be Nathan thinking we are confronting great truth, but instead we are David, so caught up in our own sin that we can't see the falseness of the story around us or the fact that we are entrapped by our own story. That we have just claimed to be right, when instead God is telling us a different story. It's interesting that the words Nathan uses are, why do you despise the word of the Lord your God? Not, why do you despise God? Not, why are you going around? But why do you despise the word of the Lord your God? Why do you despise the story of the Lord your God? Why do you despise what God is telling you and do evil in God's sight? We should be looking in the mirror and asking ourselves that very question. Why? Why, when it's been written down for us, When it's been told to us, when we've read it, do we keep despising it? And we come up with all these great answers. Oh, it's just not practical. Love your enemy? That's ridiculous. Word of the Lord. Do unto others as you would have them do to you? They don't know what it's like living in 21st century capitalism. Word of the Lord. Stop lying. Live in the truth. Fake news. Word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. We've got to be honest with ourselves and with one another. That is the starting place for any family. And God has been open and honest with us. And God has done wonderful things for us. We owe it to ourselves and to one another and to God to listen, to confess, and to do better. So let us stop and go do good things with our hands. Let us get rid of lying and live into truth. Let us remember we are forgiven and are called to live into that forgiveness. Amen.